Reviewing the February 2018 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of April 16th through 22nd. This is the JW Review. So thank you very much for joining me. My name is Mike Felker, and what I do on this podcast or video is that I go through weekly Watchtower articles or sometimes the JW broadcasts or something else of note, and I simply do a review from my perspective, which is a non-Jehovah's Witness perspective. I've never been a Jehovah's Witness, and if you want to know more about my background or why in the world someone like me is doing something like this, feel free to ask, and I would be happy to share that with you. So this is, of course, a video review, but also this is, at the same time, an iTunes podcast review. So you don't have to watch this. You can also listen to this. So if you go to iTunes and you just type in a JW review in the search, you can pull this up and subscribe it, and you'll be notified when the podcast is posted. And I also post all of this on my website, which is michaeljfelker.com. And I will note that there, I would always recommend checking my website, because there's going to be things that I post there that you're just not going to see if you only watch this on YouTube. I've also got tons of articles, and I've even got debates, video debates, in fact, with Jehovah's Witnesses. So you'll find a lot of stuff over there. Before I get into that, one other thing, please rate this on iTunes. So even if you don't listen to this on iTunes and you just watch it on video, please go there and rate it if you do find this podcast to be enjoyable and effective and you benefit from it. Because if you rate it on iTunes, especially if you leave a review too, it's going to make it easier for people to find it. It'll make even Jehovah's Witnesses able to find it, because maybe they'll be searching an iTunes podcast for something JW related, because it does turn out that the Watchtower themselves do publish things on the iTunes podcast feed. So it'll be really helpful to have more reviews, because this may likely pull up in their search, and they might stumble upon this and listen to this. Which I hope they do. Next, just in the way of introduction, me and some friends are considering doing a review of the 2018 Memorial. And what we want to do is all of us get together and just do a review of, hopefully, a video presentation of the memorial itself. Now, we've been able to track down a video of decent quality of the 2017 memorial, but I don't think we've actually found a video of the 2018 memorial. So if any of you have a source for that, please send it my way. You can email me at mike.felker@icloud.com, or if you just go to my website, michaeljfelker.com, and click on the Contact tab at the top of the page, you can contact me that way. But anyway, we're going to get together, hopefully, and review this all together, and hopefully that will be of benefit to you. So let's go ahead and get into the article. So the article that we're going to look at is the week of April 16th through 22nd, which is the next week, so that when you are watching or listening to this podcast, you've got it a week in advance, so that when you get to your meetings, if you are attending meetings, which I know a lot of you still are, you'll have a week to digest the material that I'm bringing out, so that when you're hearing this being spoken about from the platform or from the audience questions, you know, you'll already be thinking about some of these things that I'm bringing up, which I can almost assure you will not be brought up in those meetings. So the title of this article is, What Does It Mean to Be a Spiritual Person? And thankfully, they bring in Jesus Christ right here at the beginning, and they do discuss Jesus Christ all throughout the article, which props to the Watchtower for doing that. That is great, because we miss that. We miss seeing references to Jesus Christ, because he just is so often ignored, and sometimes deliberately so. But he's brought up here, and that's great. So I have to give credit where credit is due. So let's go ahead and read the first scripture here. Romans 15:5, may God grant you to have among yourselves the same mental attitude that Christ Jesus had. And going into the article, being a spiritual person has made me happier, and it has helped me deal successfully with daily trials, says a sister in Canada. A brother in Brazil states, our 23 years of marriage have been very happy, thanks to our efforts to be spiritually minded. And a brother in the Philippines notes, being a spiritual person has allowed me to have peace of mind, and it has helped me improve in my dealings with brothers from different backgrounds. Paragraph 2, expressions like those portray spiritually in a favorable way. I'm sorry, expressions like those portray spirituality in a favorable way. As a result, we may be moved to ask ourselves, how can I grow as a spiritual person and enjoy more fully the benefits described above? However, before we answer that, we need to understand clearly what the Bible says about spiritual or spiritually minded people. In this article, we will answer three key questions. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? What examples will help us progress in our spirituality? Three, how will our effort to have the mind of Christ help us to be spiritual people? So if you're reading these two paragraphs, you may just be under the assumption, I guess, that Romans 15:5 has something to do with these notions of spirituality, specifically that the Watchtower brings up here. However, if you're reading Romans 15:1-13, which we can do here, you're going to have a little bit of a different impression. So let's read through Romans 15:1-13. I know it's a lot here, but we want to see if the scripture is bringing out what the Watchtower seems to be implying that it's bringing out. So Romans 15:1, now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. So we see here, this is the tone and the subject that's being brought out. That's going to set the stage for the rest of this. 15:2, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever it was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to conform the promises given to the fathers, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him. Again, Isaiah says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all the joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, the primary point in Romans 15:1-3 is having a mind that serves others. So for the Jew, this meant accepting those who weren't like them, namely the Gentiles or the nations, as 15:8-13 affirms. To the Jehovah's Witness, this would most closely parallel their service to non-Jehovah's Witnesses. So this passage doesn't deal directly with morality at all, but that's the impression that you would get if you didn't check the context and you simply read through these first two paragraphs. So what's happening here is the Watchtower has an agenda. because they're saying, what does it mean to be a spiritual person? And then they're going to say, okay, well, here's all these things that being a spiritual person means. And we're just going to quote here a few scriptures that seem to talk about spirituality without talking about the context. And that's a huge problem that the Watchtower constantly misses, is that they don't really say much about the context. So let's go on to paragraph 3. The Apostle Paul helps us to understand what a spiritual person is by drawing a contrast between a spiritual man and a physical man. And they ask us to read 1 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. So let's go ahead and do that. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. So the Watchtower asks, what is the difference? The physical man is described as not accepting the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot get to know them. On the other hand, the spiritual man is someone who examines all things and who has the mind of Christ. Paul encourages us to be spiritual people. In what other way do physical and spiritual individuals differ? So, ironically, 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 13 affirms that a spiritual person can know truths apart from human wisdom. And since we have the Spirit and are directly taught by the Spirit, then we can know these things apart from human wisdom. And we can look here at 1 Corinthians 2:11 through 13 just to get the point. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So there's the knowledge that we gain through the Spirit of God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. And here we go to verse 14 and 15 to kind of make the point. And verse 15 is talking about the spiritual person who appraises, or as the Watchtower puts, the one who examines all things. Now, let's put this in contrast with what the Watchtower teaches concerning how we can actually come to know spiritual truth, and it's something different from what the scriptures are teaching us here. So we're going to look at a few Watchtower quotes. And this is from the 2010 Watchtower on September 15th. Pages 8 and 9, paragraph 7. It says, "We cannot hope to acquire a good relationship with Jehovah if we ignore those whom Jesus has appointed to care for his belongings." That's the governing body. "Without the assistance of the faithful and discreet slave," or the governing body, "we would neither understand the full import of what we read in God's word nor know how to apply it. By putting into practice the things we are learning from the scriptures, we can secure ourselves God's blessing." So what the Watchtower is telling us, we can't even know these things, these spiritual truths. We can't even know really what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is even talking about unless we just take in what the governing body is saying, right? Because what they're going to say is, well, yeah, maybe you can know some things about this, but you can't understand the full import of God's word without us, the governing body. That's essentially what they're saying here. But if you look at the scriptures, and none of the scriptures say that you have to have these fallible men to understand God's word. Matthew 24:45 through 47 doesn't say anything about that. Now, it does say that the faithful and discreet slave gives food at the proper time, but no one's arguing with that. No one's arguing that we all have elders in our congregations that teach us things. That's fine. But the scripture's not saying that you can't even understand the full import of what we read in God's word without them, or even how to apply it without them. It says nothing of the kind. And let's look at another watchtower quotation here. And this is the 2013 November 15th watchtower on page 20, paragraph 17. It says, all of us must be ready to obey any instructions we may receive. Obey any instructions we may receive. And that's the instructions that you would be receiving from the governing body. Whether these appear sound from a strategic or human standpoint or not. So really what they're saying is, even if it doesn't even look right or sound right or whatever it may be, you need to be ready to obey it. But look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is saying. He who is spiritual appraises all things or examines all things, yet he himself is appraised or examined by no one. So really the watchtower is saying the opposite of what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is saying. So paragraph 4, consider the first attitude of a physical individual. The world has a predominant attitude that centers on the flesh. Paul describes it as the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. This spirit influences most humans to adopt a common attitude, simply follow the crowd. They are focused on the flesh. As a result, the majority of them do what feels right in their own eyes and make no effort to live up to God's standards. A physical or fleshly minded person is often excessively concerned about the prestige and material pursuits, or about defending what he feels are his own rights. There's two things I want to point out here. It's that following the crowd. Now, the Jehovah's Witnesses think they are, you know, merely following the scriptures. But in essence, it is a follow the crowd mentality, because you are to be in complete conformity with the thinking of everyone around you. In other words, you're not allowed to express something different when it comes to spiritual or doctrinal matters. There is no freedom of thought on those things. You have to adapt your thinking to what everyone around you is doing. And everyone around you is looking to the governing body, to their direction. So it is a follow the crowd mentality, whether you want to agree with that or not. That is simply what it is. That is the only way that all these millions of Jehovah's Witnesses worldwide can have the same line of thought on all matters related to doctrine or spirituality. Now, when it comes to defending what he feels are his rights, you know, I think this is characteristic of the governing body. So one thing that I did on my website is I've began to compile what I've called JW.org authority quotes. So if you go to MichaelJFelker.com and you go up to the article section at the top and you go to Jehovah's Witnesses, there's going to be an article titled JW.org authority quotes. So what I've done here is I have began to compile a list of quotations. And the great thing about this is I quote it here in my article, and then I have a hyperlink, which if you open that up, it's going to take you directly to JW.org at the online library and have the quote right there and highlighted so you can read the whole quote in context. So what these are JW.org authority quotes, where they're essentially the governing body is defending their own leadership. They do it time and time again, that you need to obey the faithful and discreet slave. You should not question the faithful and discreet slave. I mean, look at here. We need to obey the faithful and discreet slave to even have Jehovah's approval. So anything that the governing body puts in print, you've got to obey it. And if you don't do that, you don't have Jehovah's approval. So you tell me, who is trying to defend what they feel are their own rights? That would be the governing body. So is the governing body demonstrating what it means to be a spiritual person? I don't think so. Because someone like that wouldn't be trying to make all of this effort to defend their own rights. I mean, look at the JW broadcast from March. I mean, that was a governing body member trying to defend his own rights, because he's saying things like, well, Jehovah and Jesus trust us completely. Therefore, you need to trust us completely. Because you see that time and time and time again in a Watchtower publications, is the governing body trying to assert their authority and getting you to believe in their own authority and not question it. Paragraph 7. The Bible speaks highly of spiritually minded people. Matthew 5:3 says, happy are those conscious of their spiritual need, since the kingdom of the heavens belongs to them. Romans 8:6 shows the advantage of being spiritually minded, saying, setting the mind on the flesh means death, but setting the mind on the spirit means life and peace. By focusing on spiritual things, we gain peace with God and with ourselves now in the prospect of everlasting life in the future. So, look at the context of Romans 8:6. So you see Romans 8:6, which is, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So this is one of those instances where you can't have your cake and eat it too. Because the context of Romans chapter 8 is talking about the spiritual person who has his mind set on the things of the spirit, and then the fleshly person who has his mind set on the things of the flesh. You have these contrasts between these two types of people. But notice when you read on in Romans chapter 8, it also says this about spiritual people. It says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. So notice, if you're going to claim to be this spiritual person that Romans chapter 8 is talking about, then you need to be consistent. And you need to also agree with Romans chapter 8 verse 14 that says you are a son of God through adoption, and you're going to be an heir with God and a fellow heir with Christ. But if you know something about Jehovah's Witness doctrine, you know that this is exclusively referring to the anointed class of 144,000 that's unique to that group. And then the great crowd, which encompasses most other Jehovah's Witnesses, millions more of Jehovah's Witnesses, this scripture doesn't apply to them. But in Romans chapter 8, you see no distinction. You see no distinction between something that applies exclusively to the anointed class, but other things that apply to a great crowd. The Jehovah's Witnesses are creating a division between these two groups of Christians. But Romans chapter 8 doesn't bring out that division. You see a flow of thought, a consistent flow of thought, and what it means to be someone who has his mind set on the things of the Spirit. That same person is an adopted son of God. Whether you like it or not, that is what the consistent flow of thought from Paul is. But the Jehovah's Witness create a different flow of thought, but it's not in the text. So let's go on to paragraph 12. It says, this is like a little past halfway down the paragraph. It says, are we like Jesus, ever ready to show compassionate concern when we meet people who need help? So let's actually just go ahead and read the whole paragraph here, because I want to bring out this point. And this is what it means to be a spiritual person. So let's be consistent here. Yet, of all people who have lived, who is the most outstanding example of a spiritual person? It is Jesus, of course. Throughout his life and ministry, he showed that he wanted to imitate his father Jehovah. He thought, felt, and acted like Jehovah and lived in harmony with God's will and standards. Note, for example, how Jehovah's feelings of compassion are described by the prophet Isaiah, and compare what description with what gospel writer Mark reports about Jesus' feelings. Are we like Jesus, ever ready to show compassion and concern when we meet people who need help? In addition, Jesus devoted himself to the work of preaching and teaching the good news. All such feelings and actions are marks of a spiritual person. So let's ask the question, does this apply to the concept of shunning? Because when you are shunning someone, it doesn't matter if it's your friend or your family, your mother, your daughter, your father, your son, your grandparents, your grandchildren, it doesn't matter. The Jehovah's Witnesses want you to shun them if they leave the organization of Jehovah's Witnesses. It doesn't even matter if you don't know exactly all the details of what happened with them leaving or getting disfellowshipped. You're just simply required to not speak to them or talk to them. You're just to ignore them, ignore their emails, ignore their phone calls. It doesn't matter what they're going through. You need to shun them. You need to really do that harshly. Right? There's no question. You just have to do that. But is that showing compassion and concern when those ones who are disfellowshipped or have left the organization need your help? Is that really showing compassion and concern? Because think about the people who Jesus hung out with. Because you know that the scribes and the Pharisees, they were willing to throw people out of the synagogue. People who started to follow Jesus, or even after Jesus was resurrected, people who were following the teachings of the apostles, they were getting thrown out of the synagogues and threatened to basically have complete disassociation from the religion of the Jews. But Jesus and the apostles showed those ones compassion. Jesus ate with the sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes. Jesus showed compassion for these people. You were otherwise abandoned by the religious leaders and people of those days. So I don't think you're exercising compassion when you do this shunning. By the way, shunning is otherwise completely unbiblical. There is no biblical basis for the concept of shunning. And if you have a biblical case for that or some questions about that, please bring those my way and I will be more than happy to address those. So that's all I have for this article review, and hopefully next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the article titled Move Forward as a Spiritual Person. So thank you very much for watching, and thank you for listening. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit MichaelJFelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.